Chapter 5. The City, the Axe, and the Merry Men. Monday, the 25th of March, 1191. Adam and young Will entered Nottingham on a bright and brisk afternoon, the last nip of winter still hanging in the air. Adam had thought his new companion a chatterer, but their walk through the forest had been surprisingly quiet. Will had seemed rather wary when the trees were thick around them. Now that they entered the town, the youth seemed to have found his voice again, though he remained alert.
"Well, here you are, sir, Nottingham," Will gestured theatrically as if finishing the introductory monologue of a great play.
It certainly was a busy stage. Market traders bustled along with cartloads of their wares. Stalls lined the main road leading from the gate to the castle in the distance. Beggars were slumped against walls, animal waste caked on their feet, and a corpse lay rotting in a puddle. Did cities always smell this bad? Adam thought aloud. It had been nearly a century since his last visit to England, and it seemed that in that time positive urbaneous progress had been slow. Adam sighed, thinking of Rome. Probably no point trying to find a bathhouse here. Will smirked and spun, arms outstretched.
"I said I'd take you to Nottingham. I didn't say you'd like it."
He held out his hand for payment, but a thick, armour-plated hand suddenly closed around his thin wrist.
"Well, if it ain't Wily Will."
The hand belonged to a massive, brutish-looking man. His neck was so thick that it looked as if his head sprung straight from his shoulders. The heavy steel plating of his armour would have hobbled a smaller man. With a crooked grin, the man lifted Will by the arm off the ground and held him high. They were now nose to nose.
"Going to have to be the eyes for a second offence, Will. But no need to waste the sheriff's time," the man jeered, reaching down for the knife that hung from his belt.
Will attempted to kick himself free, his legs clanging uselessly against his attacker's breastplate.
"Dennis, please, I'm not worth your trouble," Will pleaded.
The market traders had slowed their barrows. Some looked concerned, others delighted by the entertainment. Adam stepped forward. It took him a moment to decide how to get such a large man's attention. He decided to tap him on the shoulder. "Please put my guide down. He's been invaluable to me. Whatever debts he owes, I will pay them. Or perhaps a song. Or a flagon of ale. My treat." Dennis's free hand spun and caught Adam hard on the jaw. Adam fell back into the mud and filth.
"If you interfere with the sheriff's business again, we'll take your eyes too," spat Dennis.
Will felt the distracted knight's grip loosen slightly, and realizing that this might be his only chance to escape with the power of sight, managed to prise open his attacker's fist and made a bid for freedom. But Dennis was nimbler than one would assume for a man of his size. Will buckled over a steel boot and ended up sprawled on the ground. With a nasty crunch, Will felt all the air rush from his lungs as he took the full force of Dennis's flesh and armour as the large man pinioned him. Dennis grabbed the back of the boy's head with one hand, pulling his face towards him. He took the knife from his belt and raised it high. Will didn't want to look up at that crooked smile. He didn't want that to be the last thing he'd ever see, but his instincts betrayed him. He couldn't help but meet Dennis's eyes. And yet, surprisingly, Will saw that Dennis was not smiling triumphantly. He didn't look happy at all. If anything, he looked confused. No one in Nottingham had ever seen an axe like the one that was now protruding out of the back of Dennis's head. It was made of stone, the axe head affixed to the redwood handle with a strip of rawhide. The handle itself had a patterned turquoise wrap with a feather and beaded tassel that now blew slightly in the breeze. Adam's hand, from which the tomahawk had flown, was still outstretched, his open tunic revealing the axe's twin still tucked into his belt. Will gasped. The market traders were staring. One didn't seem to notice the parade of cabbages rolling out of his cart. The beggar in the corner began to laugh. The corpse in the puddle barely reacted at all. Dennis fell, sickeningly slowly, onto his side. Dead. The squeaking sound as Adam withdrew the axe made Will turn a pale green. Adam reached down and helped the boy up. "You all right?" Adam asked. Will was finally showing his age. There was no more bravado or showmanship, just a scared boy who should be at home with a fae or an Evelyn taking care of him, not missing fingers or watching men die. "I think we should get out of here. Do you know somewhere we can go?" Adam continued. He'd learnt from countless battles that when men held the expression that Will now wore, it was important to keep them talking. "Back to Forest," the boy said quietly. Adam's first day in Nottingham had not been as fruitful as he'd hoped, their only bit of good fortune being that they'd somehow managed to make it out of the city before the alarm could be raised. Their trip back into the woods was quiet, and they walked quickly. Adam kept his ears pricked for any noise of pursuit, but heard nothing. The trees around them were getting thicker now. They weren't using the established track they'd come in on, but following the desire lines left by others who didn't want to be found. Then Adam heard a noise that he hadn't thought he'd hear for the rest of the day. Laughter. It was coming from a clearing ahead of them. Will spun around and looked Adam dead in the eye. "Look, I owe you. You saved me life. I need to repay you, and this is the only idea I've got. But if you don't keep your mouth shut till I get chance to explain, these men'll kill you. So please, shush." Before Adam had a chance to respond, the young boy walked dramatically into the clearing, bravado magically restored. "John!" Will yelled merrily. Adam followed close into the clearing. About 20 men were all seating around a large campfire. The smell of roasting venison turning on the spit made Adam's mouth water. The men were all in green hooded cloaks that almost perfectly matched the foliage of the surrounding trees. Their laughter had stopped the moment they'd realised that Wily Will had just brought a stranger to their hideout. Adam heard the familiar tautening of a bowstring. He looked up and saw an archer in a tree, arrow drawn, pointing at his heart. Adam was impressed. The archer was positioned exactly where he would have put a marksman. A man got up from the fire. He was huge, a foot taller than Dennis had been, his face ruddy and bearded, his forearms thicker than Adam's thighs. The man rubbed his face and gave out a long sigh. He began walking towards them, picking up a thick oak staff on the way. "John," Will said again. He was clearly trying to sound jovial, but he'd turned a rather strange colour again.
"Will, you clot. What were you thinking, bringing an outsider here?"
John twisted his staff between his two huge hands. His irritation was clearly building, but he seemed determined to keep his temper.
"What part of secret don't you understand?"
His gaze flicked from Will to Adam to his men, then settled on the floor.
"Oh, we're going to have to kill him," John said, resigned.
Before Adam could react, Will ran forwards, shielding Adam with his body.
"Nah, John, don't, please. He saved my life."
John gently but firmly pushed the boy aside.
"He's an outlaw now. He's like us."
Will sounded desperate. Adam slowly began reaching for the tomahawk under his tunic.
"He killed that bastard Dennis," Will yelled.
But John continued in his advance towards Adam.
"Or an axe that he threw."
At the word "threw," John came to a halt, more intrigued than wary. Adam stood still, his hand still poised above his tomahawk, unsure of what was to follow. There was a silence. The only things Adam could hear were the crackling of the fire, the familiar creak of that taut bow, and the song of a robin in the trees above. John looked Adam up and down. He seemed to be seeing him properly for the first time. What are you doing in Sherwood? Adam felt it was best to be honest. I'm looking for someone.
Who?
Asked John. A maid. There was another pause, and then John's frown softened.
Aren't we all?
The men watching chuckled slightly. Adam lowered his hand back to his side.
An axe, eh?
John said, leaning his chin on his staff and raising his eyebrows. Adam couldn't help but smile. If you think that sounds good, give me a go with that bow, Adam said, gesturing towards the marksman in the trees. Then I'll give you a proper show. A few minutes later, everyone in the clearing was applauding. Adam had laid an arrow in every target the band of men had shouted out. John laughed heartily when Adam shot an apple off Will's head. Apparently the entertainment seemed to be payment enough for the boy having revealed the gang's hideout. Adam, too, was in good spirits. It felt right to have a bow in his hand again.
"Well, sir, I've never seen archery as good as that," John said, clapping Adam on the back. "You should be at Lionheart's artillery, not slumming it in woods with us."
"The maid I seek is not in the Holy Land. I've checked." Adam fired another arrow in almost adolescent frustration.
"So where is she?" John asked. "I've not seen many maids here in Sherwood, and believe me, I've been looking."
I don't expect to find her in the forest, but... Adam looked around and surveyed the secret campsite. He had been planning on doing this alone, but it might play out faster with a band. He quickly analysed the men. Some of them looked like they'd never known any life but this. Their clothes were hand-woven, the dirt under their fingernails thick. They had the wild look that men only get from sleeping in the elements year on year. Others, though, if you looked beneath the new film of grime, had rather fine clothes, their hands not so calloused and their hair not so matted. These were once men of at least modest fortune. Adam looked to Will. He remembered the boy's showmanship, his pageantry. Maybe that was what was needed. A pitch, a performance. He turned back to John. "May I address you and your men?"
John gestured towards the fire. The forest floor was his.
Adam strode into the middle of the clearing, still clutching the bow. He cleared his throat.
"Men of Sherwood, hear me. I've come to you this evening on a quest."
The eyes of every man were on him. Some were eager. Others looked more sceptical. All were listening. "It is my understanding that the monarch of England is going to be bringing a woman to Nottingham, enslaved in chains," Adam declared, as dramatically as he could muster. The men closest to Adam leant forward. Those on the outskirts, busy stripping meat or sharpening blades, continued what they were doing, but their heads cocked towards him. The only holdout was a man, rather older than the rest, who was busy counting a small handful of coins into a leather purse. Adam did his best to ignore him. "It is my intention to free this woman," Adam continued. He saw Will out of the corner of his eye, gesturing towards a large fallen tree trunk. Adam got the hint. He leapt on top of it. "My plan is to raid every nobleman's carriage that enters the city, and with your help," Adam swung out from one of the tree's upturned roots, gesturing to the men, "I increase my chances of finding her." "Questions?" Adam pulled himself back onto the log and waited, but nobody spoke. He was beginning to feel a little foolish until Will broke the silence. "Who is this woman?" he asked. The men around him murmured in agreement, as if to imply it was a good question.
"My wife,"
Adam said. He tried to say it with bravado, but his voice faltered.
"What does Prince John want with your wife?" asked John. More mutters from the men.
"God only knows," Adam said, looking up into the forest canopy. A hand raised from the outskirts of the clearing. A stocky man in a half-helm. He'd been sharpening a dagger, but he'd put it aside to interject. Adam gestured for him to speak.
"How do you know of this royal plan?"
"A coyote told me," Adam answered. probably a little too honestly. But the stocky man seemed unperturbed by his answer. He nodded before attending to his dagger again. Will, however, was worried their performance might be losing its focus. He didn't know what a coyote was, and he felt sure that he wasn't the only one. Quickly, he got up and walked towards Adam, lowering his voice and putting on a gruff tone. "So, we help you jump a nobleman's carriage, and you get your wife back." Will winked at Adam before turning back to the men, arms stretched out. "But be reasonable. We're outlaws, men of the forest." John looked like he might be about to interrupt, but Will continued before he got a chance. "Aye, some of us have noble hearts, but the main thing we're concerned about is our empty bellies. What's in it for us?" The men murmured in approval. Adam jumped off the log and walked towards Will. As he passed him, he put his hand on his shoulder, bending slightly to catch his ear alone. "Well played," Adam whispered. "Close strong," the boy replied. Adam raised his voice once more. "The lad has a point." Adam strode towards a tree where one of his arrows had bitten deep into the bark of an old oak. "Though I know that each and every one of you would risk your lives to help an innocent maiden in peril with no thought of reward, every carriage we hit that doesn't contain my wife," he pulled the arrow out with one swift motion, "whatever else we find inside," Adam pulled back the bowstring, "is yours." Adam let the arrow fly. The old man, who hadn't stopped counting for the entirety of Adam's speech, let out a little gasp. Coins spilt from his purse, now punctured by the arrow. There was a silence, interrupted only by the clink of coins dropping from the purse like an ominous metallic heartbeat. Adam bowed. All eyes turned from him to John. "Deal," said the giant man, his hand outstretched. The crowd cheered as John's hand grasped Adam's, and that night the men of Sherwood made merry. Adam made himself as comfortable as he could while sleeping on a forest floor. John had given him a pelt for a blanket, and he lay back. Adam could just about make out a few stars twinkling through the canopy. Though he couldn't see it, he knew the moon was bright. Its glow filled the night sky. It had been a night just like this, when Adam had met... "What's a coyote?" Will's face was hovering inches from Adam's nose. "Don't do that," chastened Adam. He turned onto his side, away from Will's looming face. "Get some sleep. I've tried, but I can't stop thinking about it. A coyote told me," you said. "What's a coyote?" "It's a kind of dog." "So a dog told you your wife were here?" Will looked unconvinced. "It's a magic dog," Adam said. Will raised an eyebrow. Adam gestured to the trees. "Look, you know how there are fairies in English woods?" "Aye," Will replied, his expression dubious. "Well, in some places, in different woods, they have other things." "Like magic dogs?" "Like magic dogs," Adam repeated. "Right. Okay, then, whatever you say. If you don't want to tell me, that's fine. I'll see you in the morning." Will left Adam to return to his thoughts. Adam had been hunting when the bronze-furred trickster came out from the briar patch. The moon, almost full, had bathed their meeting in an eerie light.
"I have been tracking you for over a week, Adam. You run fast for a man," the coyote said, panting slightly.
"My name is Timkusa," Adam replied.
"Don't lie to me, first man. I know who you are, and I have a message for you."
"A message?" Adam leant down to look directly into the coyote's yellow eyes, looking for any hint of deception. There was none.
"Yes, a message."
The coyote pulled himself into an almost formal seated position. "The woman whom the first man cares most deeply for is being taken to Nottingham Castle. She will be taken in chains by the ruler of England.
Adam had started preparing for his voyage the very next day. The people who had welcomed him into their tribe helped him build and pack the redwood canoe before waving him off with their blessings. And now here he was, back in England, with Nottingham and his wife only a stone's throw away. Adam closed his eyes and slipped into a dreamless sleep.
You've been listening to Evergreen, Chapter 5, written by Sam Russell and read by Catherine Russell. If you enjoyed it, wherever you're listening, please subscribe, give us a like and a review so we can get this story into more people's ears. And if you really liked it, you can support this project on our Ko-fi page. All the details are available on our Twitter, @EvergreenBook1.
The next chapter will be released on Monday, the 9th of August.
Thanks for listening.